It's All Things Considered. I'm Jen White. Each year, the Michigan Humanities Council invites Michiganders to participate in a statewide initiative called the Great Michigan Read. This year's book selection, Arc of Justice, A Saga of Race, Civil Rights, and Murder in the Jazz Age, reminds us of an often forgotten piece of Detroit history.
The heart of the story, really, is that on September 9th, 1925, a young couple, Ocean and Gladys Sweet, moved into their first home on the east side of Detroit.
That's Kevin Boyle, the book's author. Normally, moving into a new home would be cause for celebration.
But for the Sweets, it was fundamentally different because the Sweets were African American and the neighborhood was white.
Detroit neighborhoods were heavily segregated in 1925, and racial tensions were running very high.
So on the second night they were in the house, a huge crowd of whites gathered outside the house to drive them out.
Instead of abandoning the home, Dr. Sweet made an extraordinary decision. Dr. Sweet, his wife, and several family members and friends armed and barricaded themselves inside the home. When the mob gathered outside the home to forcibly remove the Sweets,
something happened. They opened fire on that mob. Two members of the mob were shot. One was killed. And then the Wayne County prosecutor brought first-degree murder charges against all 11 African Americans in that house. And that was the heart of the trial.
Now, this story takes place at a very interesting convergence of change in race, class, what social justice meant. What was happening in Detroit at that time that made this a particularly notable moment in history?
It's really the great pivot point in Detroit. It's the point where Detroit becomes the greatest boom town in the Western world. Detroit in the 1920s was the center of the most important industry in the world. It was Silicon Valley. And what that meant was that Detroit was becoming this magnet for people from around the world. Immigrants coming from Eastern Europe, from Southern Europe, people coming up from the South, black and white, and they were all pouring into the city. And what that did is it forced Detroiters to confront the question, do we believe in equal rights for all people? And how should those equal rights play out on the ground? And the answer to that, sadly enough, was that people didn't. And so it's exactly this moment, this time when Dr. Sweet decides to move into that neighborhood, that the northern system of segregation that segregates neighborhoods along the color line is being formed. And so Dr. Sweet is confronting really one of the most powerful forms of segregation as it's in its infancy.
Kevin, the Sweets couldn't have expected to be welcomed into this neighborhood.
Dr. Sweet understood that this was a really dangerous thing to do in 1925 Detroit, that to cross the color line meant that you were going to run the risk that he ran.
Now, the trial of Dr. Sweet and his associates was very high profile. Clarence Darrow came to defend them. How did blacks and whites in Detroit react to that trial?
It's really a dramatic moment. What happens is that the NAACP takes up Dr. Sweet's case, and then they manage to hire Clarence Darrow, the greatest criminal defense attorney of his age, arguably of the entire century. And the city divides in all sorts of complicated ways. African Americans really, really rally to this case because they see that this system of segregation is coming together, and this is the moment where they have a shot at stopping it. But the white community, that splits in really complicated ways. Detroit in the 20s was a very, very big center for the Ku Klux Klan, 30,000 Klansmen in the city of Detroit in the mid-1920s. And the Klan in those days was anti-black, of course, but it was also anti-Semitic. It was anti-Catholic. And so there's a huge divide running through the white community as well. And so its response to the case is shaped in some ways by internal conflicts and by the rising tide of racism.
I don't want to spoil the story for anyone, but ultimately, this is a tragic story for Dr. Sweet and his family. What impact did this story have on Detroit?
See, there's the tragedy, too. And I appreciate you don't want to give away too much of the story, and I'm certainly with you on that. But the larger tragedy, the kind of social tragedy of this story, is that what we do As Americans, as we look back on civil rights and the civil rights struggles of the past, and we tend to see them as Southern struggles. We tend to think of Dr. King. We tend to think of Rosa Parks. We tend to think of what happened in the South in the 1950s and the 1960s, and that's what we think of as civil rights. They break down the system of Jim Crow. No one has to ride in the back of the bus anymore in the Deep South. No one has to drink out of a separate drinking fountain. And so in a lot of ways, the story of civil rights is really uplifting. The hard part is what happens if you add in stories like Dr. Sweet to our understanding of civil rights struggles, because the system of segregation that he struggled against in 1925 hasn't been defeated. It remains in place, and American cities to this day remain deeply divided along that color line, which I think is the great tragedy of his story.
Kevin Boyle is a professor of 20th century American history at Ohio State University. He's also the author of this year's Great Michigan Read Selection, Arc of Justice, A Saga of Race, Civil Rights, and Murder in the Jazz Age. Kevin, thank you for speaking with us.
Thanks so much for having me on.